Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You heard it from voice man himself, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, and also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app, which is available on one, your iPhone, and two, your Android as of Friday. How about that? The app is significantly better. Check it out. It's not just that you have the ability to listen on the app when our signal's not the best, and that you have the ability to interact with the show via the app, via the chat, or by just calling and texting with the numbers that are right on the app so you can directly connect with us. It's also, and keep an eye on it in the near future, a place where you can see giveaways. Yes, we gave something away on it. A little bit ago, some tickets to Bob Dylan and I think Willie Nelson. Yeah.
Good Among
old,
others.
Good old time. If you're an old stoner, man, our tip of the hat to you. We hope you had fun. Astros lost yesterday to the Cleveland Guardians, 7-5. Guardians had lost 10 in a row, but you understand why the Guardians, even if they're not playing well of late, this was a around 500 team not so long ago. Towards the bottom of baseball in a lot of major statistical categories, but they do have Jose Ramirez for what it's worth. You're throwing Colton Gordon out there, got hit in the head by a ball. Maybe he had a concussion, gave up a three-run homer not too long after getting hit right in the head by a ball. You're bringing in Kennedy Corona for his first ever major league action with Jake Myers now banged up, getting a rest day yesterday. I mean, you're outmanned and outgunned. If they can win this series against the Guardians, I will be pretty impressed, just given where they're at now from a lineup perspective. It's not enough that you lose Jeremy Pena. Is Jake Myers going to be back by the All-Star break? We'll see. In tonight's game, the lineup I know generally gets released at about 3 o'clock. But the Astros are getting their flowers after sweeping the Los Angeles Dodgers and after a stretch where they took the Phillies to the dustbin sweep. Took 2 or 3 against the Cubs. Took 2 or 3 against the Rockies, which that one L.A. barbecue guy dumped on. And then they swept the Dodgers. They're on a roll. And they're getting their flowers across baseball. I'm going to show you where they're ranked amongst a couple of different power rankings. Bleacher Report, Kerry Miller has them at number 1. Kerry Miller bent the knee. Fox Sports has them at 1. Fox Sports bent the knee. CBS Sports has them first. CBS Sports bent the knee. NBC Sports has them second, right behind the Tigers. To a degree, NBC Sports bent the knee, though the Astros did beat the Tigers 2 or 3 earlier this year. But there are some who are holding out and might need a Randall Tarley-style barbecue. It's time for Keep That Same Energy.
Have you even slightly insulted the Houston Astros today?
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
We'll hunt you down, mother.
They are for Houston. They got Houston.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We're keeping that same energy.
Now witness the firepower of this battle station.
You may fire when ready.
Despite having the best record in baseball since May 2nd, and despite taking the Dodgers not once, not twice, but three times around the corner and beating the bejesus out of them. There are some holdouts. There are some holdouts who have not bent the knee to our beloved Houston Astros. First off, this post is 5 days old. We'll cut them some slack. But ESPN's power rankings have the Astros in fourth place and the Dodgers first. Hey, holiday weekend's over. Let's get an update. MajorLeagueBaseball.com has the Astros third in the power rankings, behind the LA Dodgers. This was posted on Sunday, so I suppose it was posted before the sweep was official. But Earth to MLB.com, the Astros pulled off the sweep. Pretty easy to move the Astros into at least a higher position than the Dodgers, you would think, after what they did over the weekend. But this one's the worst, and this one was posted today. There's no excuse for it. None. The Athletic doesn't just have the Astros in fifth in their power rankings, which is behind the Dodgers. It's also behind the Phillies and Cubs. Are you kidding me? They swept two of these teams. They took two or three against one of the other teams. What the hell am I paying $80 a month to? What am I doing? It came out today. What? Have you ignored the last 2 weeks? Have you been on sabbatical, baseball writers? And by the way, I don't think baseball writers should be allowed to go on sabbatical. I also feel like Christian Walker should be targeting a birth of his child outside of baseball season, but I'll cut him some slack because he's finally hitting at the plate, okay? Bringing it back to the Astros and the disrespect given to them by the Athletic. What am I paying all this money for annually? That's $80 a month, and this is not as up-to-date as it should be. There are all sorts of baseball writers that could put these power rankings together. Chandler Rowe! Chandler! We're boys. I like you. I respect you. I think you're a really good writer. Where were you? Where were you when Gondor... Where was Gondor when the Westfold fell? Where was Chandler Rome when the Athletic put the Astros fifth in their power rankings? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I might have to have a talking to with old Chandler.
Yeah.
In the text line. He'll probably roll his eyes at me and say, you're an idiot, which not entirely untrue, but hey.
Most of your conversations go.
Yeah. Kind of. They're fun.
That's kind of when you know when to stop. That's when he's
pretty much, yeah. Yeah, there was a time where I thought something happened and I was wrong about it, and he laughed at me, and I was like, damn, I don't know baseball. I felt so ashamed. Yeah. I was like, oh, damn. All right, well, walking it back.
But yeah, I get what you're saying with, like, hey, listen, if you wanted to, if you told me that the writer who's in charge of putting out the power rankings, like, hey, listen, 4th of July weekend, I'm going to get them done on Friday and then file it. It'll go up on Monday. Okay, that's one thing. To do it and still put things that happened last week. Like,
yes.
Like when did he go on vacation? Like, what happened? Did he not?
I don't know.
He doesn't have cable?
It was posted today. There's no excuse. There's really no excuse.
Yeah.
They should at least be ahead of some of those teams. Behind all three is insane. So
yeah,
anyway, like, everyone's giving the Astros their flowers, and we do like to see that. This could be perhaps the peak of the Astros season in terms of universal respect before the playoffs begin because of what they just did. I doubt they're going to have a stretch where they play as many division leaders in 2 weeks as they just did.
And go,
and
what?
11-1.
11-1.
Or whatever. 10-2 because the Rockies are in there, too. Doing math. 8-9 against those three teams. I doubt they have another stretch like that again. Come on. Put them ahead at least of some of those teams. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, they have a better record than the Phillies. They have a better record, and they beat them.
Two
and they swept them. No, they swept the Phillies. They beat the Cubs 2 out of 3. So
better record than both of those teams.
Yeah.
Put them ahead of those two. I get it with the Dodgers. They're very injured. Some of their pitchers aren't there. I get it. I get it with the Dodgers. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Especially after the one-sided nature of this beatdown by an also banged-up Astros team over the weekend.
I would respect the Athletic a lot, though, if they're like, we were going to put them number two, but then they lost to the Guardians, so back down to 5.
Yeah. We're very immediate
like,
in our power.
Yeah, like it's like no, actually, we're so on top of it that we saw last night's game. We're like, get these guys out of here.
That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, and on the brand new ESPN Houston app. Rafael Stone weighed in on the Houston Rockets and the moves they've made this offseason. Yesterday, we react to more of what he had to say. Next, stay put. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Also on the brand new ESPN Houston app on iPhone and on Android. And don't forget it. Friday, as part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit, we're going to be hanging out on the Pleasure Pier. Sounds like a cool spot, huh? Hanging out on the Pleasure Pier, getting pleasure on. No, not that kind of pleasure. Ice cream pleasure. Inside of Sweet Scoops. We'll be there noon to 6 on Friday, and you'll have a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. Stop by the promo table at the broadcast to register for a chance to win. Rafael Stone is general manager of the Houston Rockets. Yesterday, he did a press conference and talked about some of the moves that the Rockets made this offseason. Here he is talking about what they're getting in Kevin Durant.
Offensively, he's still dynamic. He's super efficient. He's a high-volume scorer, you know, at that high level of efficiency. And hopefully he just makes us a better offensive team while at the same time being another really long, very capable wing defender. And so, we just hope he adds him, the player that he's been for the last
year. The player he's been, he said, for the last 2 decades. And he said it rather cockily at the end, too. He's feeling himself. And I respect him for feeling himself. He's like, yeah, I mean, we just acquired a guy who's been like this for the past 2 decades. Yeah. Listen, he deserves to do it. It's just funny to hear him do it. He was asking about the championship window for the Houston Rockets potentially being open. I think Big Sarge Sports asked this question. And this one, a little bit more measured, less cockiness. Understandably so, given the looming Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference.
I mean, our goal is definitely to win a championship, but I don't know about the window opening or closing or whatever else. In order to be a champion, you have to beat them. Oklahoma City had just an amazing year last year, an amazing run in the playoffs. That's an extremely high bar, and there's other really great teams all around the NBA. So I think it's way too early to talk about championships other than, for obvious reasons, that's our goal.
Every team's goal. You can, I think, call them a championship contender going into this season, but it's going to be tough against Oklahoma City. And having Kevin Durant, it's a huge addition. Defensively, we know the Rockets are going to be good. We know the length, the size that they have. Could the double big lineup potentially be a headache for Oklahoma City? I mean, Oklahoma City does have some size, but not a lot of size. Not exactly the biggest guy in Chet Holmgren in terms of his actual, you know, weight and such.
Yeah, tall, not big.
Right. So we'll see. That might be where they try to beat him, just by bullying him. But that is a very difficult team to take over. I think that the idea of a championship window for the Rockets, I think a lot of us have to look past Kevin Durant's tenure with the Rockets, however long. Like, I don't think that Durant leaving or Durant retiring ends it. And I know some, I think, are.
I don't think that's true. I think that he legitimizes them. This window stays open, assuming development from Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün, which I think are safe assumptions to make, especially with Thompson and with Şengün too.
Yeah, I think that KD like levels you up as far as a contender in the West. But I think like actually winning a title, I think it happens when Kevin Durant isn't the best player on the team at this point. I think it the hope is that it's, you know, Amen Thompson really rounding into form, or Alperen Şengün becoming the best guy on the team and having at that point, you know, 38-year-old Kevin Durant helping him out, being a piece on this. But, you know, Kevin Durant actually being the number one guy on the Rockets winning the title, I think that to me is more of a stretch.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, if you tell me they win, I'm like, then Amen Thompson must have been awesome. Freaking amazing.
Or Şengün. Or Şengün, yeah. Right, one or the other. I'm with you there. I think he'll have his games for sure.
I think
sure.
He can be the two, but I don't think he can be the one.
Much better to look at him to rely on as opposed to
hoping on Green or whoever.
Yeah, exactly. Or Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet. Like, yeah, crunch time, it's like, okay, we know where they're going with this. We know who's getting the ball.
This is Rafael Stone talking about Dylan Brooks. He's very excited about bringing in Dorian Finney-Smith to replace Brooks, but he's thankful for Brooks' time here in Houston.
Look, Dylan, well, I talked earlier about Jalen, but Dylan, you know, it was everything we could have asked in terms of being a great person on and off the court. And we felt like his defense and intensity were things were really important to us. And we uniquely thought Dorian has some of those same traits. And so he was a target for us going in because we were worried about losing.
Behanding comments. He's a nice guy, too. Rafael Stone thinks everyone that was in the Rockets organization was a nice guy. Dylan Brooks, baby mama, maybe not a nice girl.
No.
Dylan Brooks, nice guy.
I actually think, because he says nice guy on and off the court, I believe you that he's a nice guy off the court. I don't know if he's a nice guy on the court. I actually don't think he's that nice on the court. I think he's kind of mean. I think he's kind
of
mean.
Pulls a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Pulls a lot of crap.
Yeah.
There's no denying it.
I think some of it gets, like, people are so on edge when he's around them that it's like he instigates just by walking in the room at this point. So I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap as far as like him being dirty or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a great guy on the court, though. I wouldn't say he's a great guy. He's not helping the other guys up off the floor.
He's
you know?
More likely to take someone's shoe and throw it into the stands than he is to help them get up or find their shoe and hand it to them.
Yeah.
More from Rafael Stone. This is a very interesting answer when asked about Reed Sheppard, who played sparingly this past season, the third overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft.
Where do you hope to see Reed Sheppard grow and grow next season?
I mean, Reed's just going to have to be really good for us. Like, period.
Damn. Well, I agree. We'll see.
I like the straight talk. That's what kind of makes me believe Rafael Stone, is that he'll just say stuff like that, where normally a GM would be like, you know, we don't want to put it all on Reed Sheppard, and we have Aaron Holiday here, and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, no, he's got to be good. He's got to be good for us.
Especially when you combine that with what he had said about Cam Whitmore, we're not giving out developmental minutes anymore. We're done. We've stopped doing that. He said that they've stopped doing that 2 years ago. I would say it's probably been like since halfway through this past season, but I am with him in that they are not a developmental team anymore. So Shepard's got to have a great offseason if he wants to get on the court, period.
During the season, it's produce or not. Exactly. Produce or don't play.
Exactly. Like the only way you're going to get in is probably if an injury happens, I would say, at this moment in time, you know, like in terms of just getting regular over 10 minutes a game. Like, I think right now, like, that's what I'm looking at with him, and I mean...
Well, I think it's a camp battle. I think it's, like,
Aaron
a classic...
Him.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, NFL-style camp battle of, like, who's going to break camp as the backup point guard. I think it's... If Reed Sheppard doesn't actually prove it on the practice court, I think it'll be Aaron Holiday. I think if Reed Sheppard does develop, like has gotten better and is better than Aaron Holiday, he will be the backup point guard. But I don't think that's written in stone at it in, by any means right now.
Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. We'll see what happens this coming season with your Houston Rockets. That's the State of the Rockets Union, courtesy of General Manager Rafael Stone. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call it to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, Worst Take Tuesday. We're going to dive back into some of those bad power rankings where the Astros were not put at the top, but an old subsection of intolerable, disgusting subhumans has found their way back into the Paul Gallant Show's life. Unbelievable what these bozos are pushing. Worst Take Tuesday is next. Stay put.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros lost last night to the Cleveland Guardians. They take on Cleveland again tonight. Hopefully tonight's lineup is a little less barren than last night's lineup, but Astros are going to have to make do with what they have. Definitely disappointing to be the first team to lose to a team in the midst of a 10-game losing streak, but I do think it is rather understandable. On the Hill tonight at Daikin Park for your Houston Astros, Hunter Brown, no-hitter watch? Perfect game watch?
Already, no-hitter alert.
I'm going to say it right now, and if it doesn't happen, I'll let it go. We're going to make it sound like I actually had this take and that we never did multiple versions of this. I've got to say, I think Hunter Brown's going to have a perfect game tonight. This has been Baseball Paul. That's one. Two.
Oh, yeah. Another one.
I got to say, Hunter Brown will have a no-hitter tonight. This has been Baseball Paul. All right.
Okay, got those.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to act like we were very convinced it was going to happen. By the way, this is another, in my opinion, I'm sorry, there's been a lot of these, but after the wear and tear of a Dodgers series, this is going to be another, we're going to leave the kids in the car with the AC on and the keys in game.
Monday's game especially.
Yeah, this is, come on, we're back for the holiday weekend. Rangers, I'll be back. I'll be back for the Rangers. I ain't watching this. I ain't watching this.
Just
I'm not watching
two out
this.
Of three and we'll move on.
We might do box score hot takes tomorrow. That was something I used to do when I was on the Texas flagship at night because I couldn't watch any of the games that were on at the same time as me.
Yes.
The games would go final. I'd be like, all right, yeah. Well, I guess this is what happened. And I'd just be reading off the box score and acting like I knew what was happening. But being honest enough to confess to the audience, yeah. Like, hey, I didn't watch it. All I got is box score.
Right here. I'm doing this while the game was on.
I couldn't do it. Anyway, it is the most interactive sports talk show in town. You know how to get aboard. Every Tuesday at 2:30, it's Worst Take Tuesday. Who's got the worst takes in sports in the past week?
You have a bad take.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Don't listen to that guy. We love him.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
It's Worst Take Tuesday.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Astros swept the Phillies, took 2 or 3 against the Cubs, and on top of that, swept the Dodgers. And yet, the Athletic, who posted their power rankings today, have them 5th behind Philadelphia, Chicago, and L.A. Come on, at least put them ahead of Philadelphia and Chicago. Also, MLB.com, Dodgers 2nd, Astros 3rd, inexcusable. Worst Take Tuesday continues. Jaguars Twitter is back to their BS, believing that Trevor Lawrence is as good, if not better, than C.J. Stroud. It's as if they took that hit from Azeez Al-Shaair and have a little something called brain damage. Travis Holmes posted this to Jaguars X. He has an insufferable font in his X handle. Let us start a dialogue, brain emoji. Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud's first two seasons in the same offense. Lawrence had more completions, more attempts, more incompletions, a higher completion percentage, more passing yards, more passing touchdowns, also more interceptions, a lower yards per attempt, and a lower QBR. And I think all of those three stats are the most important ones of all. Also, no quarters in the playoffs where four interceptions were thrown. Compared his rushing stats, you know what? I will say this. Trevor Lawrence actually has pretty impressive rushing stats his first two seasons in that Jacksonville Jaguars offense. But Jaguars Twitter is back to just talking out of their ass. Remember this clown, UCF Jaguars fan, who said this after the Jaguars beat the Houston Texans on a missed Matt Amendola field goal off the crossbar at the gun. Jaguars were 8-3 at the time. Looked like they had firm command over the AFC South back in the 2023-2024 season. This clown did this.
Texans fans, I tried to tell you guys. The Jaguars run the AFC South, okay? This is our division. Trevor Lawrence is better than C.J. Stroud. Better luck in 2024. Have fun competing with Indianapolis for second in the AFC South.
Well, the Jaguars,
Jaguars
finished third, by the way. Colts were ahead of the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew under center. Jaguars legend, by the way. They let him go. I think they'd rather have Gardner Minshew or Trevor Lawrence. I know some fans would rather have Gardner Minshew because he's fun and he wears jorts. Terrible take by this random guy on Jaguars X. I like it better when Jaguar fans are more like this leathery creature found seaside who once had this to say about the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's two sides to every Jaguars coin. It's UCF Jaguars fans spouting that BS, and then it's this broad.
As far as picks, they say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year, we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
I hope she's still alive. I have questions. I hope she got a house a little closer to the beach.
Yeah.
I got to say, this guy interrupting her when she was about to talk about her beach house.
That was 20 years ago. Cool it, dude.
He interrupted her. What if her beach house was actually a pretty good place?
Yeah, what if that was leading to a story about being at the beach house?
The beach house that actually is not on the beach.
With Tom Coughlin.
Probably like a bus ride away, let's be honest. I don't know if it's right on the beach.
Right off the beach.
I like it when Jaguars fans are cocky and confident. I guess they always are, but I like that leathery creature. I hope she's still kicking.
They're playing by the rule.
I wonder how sunburned she is now. You know, wear sunscreen, guys. Worst Take Tuesday continues. Paul Pierce on, is this breakfast? No, it's Speak for Your Pizza. Paul Pierce, Celtics legend on a Speak for Your Pizza show, had this to say about his career in the league.
I was probably the best pure scorer ever in the history of the game. Cause I was pretty equipped when I think about it. I'm just saying, like,
could you pull up from the elbow?
I need to be in this conversation.
Could you pull up from the elbow?
I got
could
all
you knock
that.
Down the three.
All that.
Could you back
3-point
them down?
Contest champ.
Could you turn around.
All of that. Post up.
Could you dunk?
All of that. Okay. I was shooting. I must have been one of the most equipped.
You went from saying the most to one of the most equipped. He was very equipped. Pierce gets a lot of crap because of the time he crapped himself and was in a wheelchair in a finals game. But I love Paul Pierce. I would always argue in favor of Paul Pierce. Come on. Pure scorer in the NBA is history.
One of the most.
I don't know, man. I don't know
about
that. Even
one of the most. That's stretching it.
Yeah. It's like, I would just say in my lifetime, like, definitively Kevin Durant's better than you. Definitively.
And I get it. Like, Pierce did have pretty good post moves, nice turnaround fadeaway, and shots from the elbow, like what Keyshawn was asking about. I thought Pierce was one of the best from the elbow.
Yeah, no, Pierce was awesome.
His mid-range was
sick. I think what it was, he was a very good 2000 scorer, and that like immediately became archaic of like,
yeah.
He was great at dribbling up to 20 feet away from the basket and taking a shot.
If James Harden had played in his era, I think James Harden would have been a lot like Paul Pierce. That is high praise to give to him. You know, not always in the best looking shape. Pierce was a little bit better defensively at times, but you know, Pierce played on the Ubuntu Celtics that won that title. And who knows what happens if he doesn't have Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen with him, if he ever gets to the finish line and winning a championship. But slow it down, Pierce. Emmanuel Acho's back. Emmanuel Acho had a couple of doozies last week. So it seems like he's going to be the first on, yo, Chiefs, their time is over. Like he's the coach in Miracle. Their time is over. Our time is now. Talking about the Soviets and the Americans playing hockey. He said that Mahomes is losing his grip as top quarterback and asked, is it sacrilegious to talk about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? Right now, yeah, it is. You're trying to be the first. We all see through it. You're on a yapping TV show.
Yeah.
We get it. I get it. You got bills to pay, books to write, but
you got to be the guy for, you know, you have to be the Skip Bayless of every that's what it is. It's just like every topic needs the Skip Bayless of this topic, where it's like, no matter how good you are, I'm just going to be the one that says you suck.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just kind of what happens. And the cheerleader of every, like, for every Nick Wright, you need an Emmanuel Acho on the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree with that. And I'm just saying,
at least Nick is a fan, though. At least, like, yeah, he was like a Chiefs fan.
People said this for the longest time about Tom Brady and the Patriots. And by longest time, I mean, like, it was a good 7 years that they were saying, oh, it's over.
That was Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
Max Kellerman was the Chiefs or was the Patriots are done guy
yeah,
for
he was.
5 years.
And he leaned into it eventually, I think, as a bit, but he was that for a while. Listen, people were doing this with Brady when Brady was 34, 35. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, for those who don't know,
is he maybe
30? Is 29. Yeah. He turns 30 September 17th. Please slow it down. Okay? Even I will say that. I don't like that Tom Brady's talking to Patrick Mahomes in the offseason because I don't want Patrick Mahomes to surpass Tom Brady. I'm actually concerned that might happen there to my Lord and Savior. Emmanuel Acho being the first to step on this, losing his grip. Is it sacrilegious to talk about the best coach in the NFL and the best quarterback in the NFL? Like, you being the first person to do it is proof enough that you are way too early. You are premature on this bad boy.
Yeah, let's at least wait for until they're 1-2. And
yes!
That's still too early, but that's normally when we got the shovels out for the late-stage Patriots.
Yeah.
When they're 1-2 and lost on Monday Night Football to the Chiefs, and Trent Dilfer said he's just not good anymore about Tom Brady, who would go on to win a Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, awful. Asante Samuel. Former Patriots cornerback who lost them Super Bowl 42, and I'll never forgive him for that. Ball went right through his hands the play before the David Tyree play. Undefeated season. Asante Samuel's the reason it didn't happen. Asante Samuel is now podcasting a lot. I will give Asante Samuel this. He is not afraid to have a take or two. We'll play another one of his takes later on in the week on during the John Wall podcasting games. But Asante Samuel had this to say about gradual Christopher Darren Carter, also known as Chris Carter, NFL Hall of Famer. He says he's one of the most overrated wide receivers in NFL history. Man. I guess in a back and forth between Chad Johnson and Asante Samuel, they started to, there was a back and forth. Here we go. Chad Johnson said he could beat Travis Hunter in 10 straight one-on-one reps today, despite being 47. Carter thought this was ridiculous. Samuel, when they went back to this conversation, called Chris Carter overrated. Said Samuel, quote, I think Chris Carter was great during his time.
He was a heck of a route runner and had some of the best hands in football, but he is really beside himself coming for Chad Johnson. He was nothing more than a possession receiver, a receiver that catches the ball and is immediately tackled. Chris Carter is one of the most overrated receivers to come into the NFL or into the Hall of Fame. He had some of the best hands in football. By the way, Chris Carter's numbers, for those who don't know, 1,101 receptions for 13,899 yards and 130 touchdowns. And he played a lot of his career without Randy Moss. Like, he didn't get Randy Moss on his side until he was 33. But Chris Carter, in the 90s, one of the best. And you got to wonder where Chris Carter's numbers would be if he hadn't been a little bit of a mess, hot mess, the first couple of years of his career with the Philadelphia Eagles, 87 to 89. You forget he was with the Eagles, but he was an Eagle for a little bit. I think he had some legal issues. That might have led to his fall guy take. But Asante Samuel, come on, man. Chris Carter was awesome. Show some respect, even if maybe Chris Carter doesn't show respect to people that are in his group of friends if, I don't know, say he did something wrong. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. ESPN Houston on YouTube, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Some texters are bringing up. Samuel also claims to be better than Deion Sanders. Good point. Good point. And he won't sniff the doorstep at the Hall of Fame. He shouldn't. He cost the Patriots perfection. I will never let that go. Never. Even though he was a pretty good corner for the Patriots. He was a good player. He was. But I don't know.
Gambled a lot.
Worst moment after losing the Super Bowl for the Patriots, for me, the Patriots fan, going to Syracuse University my freshman year wearing a very thin Patriots coat that was not thick enough for the winter at Syracuse, was some Eagles fan getting in my face talking trash about how the Eagles had signed away Asante Samuel that offseason. I was like, yeah, enjoy him. Enjoy him. Enjoy him! Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. A little garbage time next. Stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Last chance to dance the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. There's a podcast called Call Her Daddy. I will admit, I used to listen to it. It was pretty good. It's an interesting listen. If you're perhaps a enthusiastic person like myself, you might enjoy listening to a couple of hot chicks talk about stuff. I don't know. You might not. They're strong, powerful, independent women. Now it's just Alex Cooper doing the show. I guess she lives in Chicago. She had the opportunity to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Cubs-Cardinals game. Keep in mind, the Cubs were winning this game over their arch rival by 10-plus runs in this moment in time.
All right, Daddy Manny, Cubs fan. Are you ready? A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the ground. Bodies on the
Imagine getting Cubs fans to boo in the midst of a game that they're up 11 runs on the Cardinals. I think Joe George would confirm for us that does not happen very often. That was awful. Alex Cooper, everybody. Ruining America's pastime song.
I do like that the Cubs fans get to be like Emperor Commodus in Gladiator, where they can
thumbs
just
down.
Like, they decide thumbs up, thumbs down the first 30 seconds of like, do we like this guy or do we like this person? Do we like the energy that they're bringing to this? Nope. Boo!
100% deserved boos. And I mean, I guess don't bring her back.
No.
She's not welcome in the ballpark ever again.
It's got to be tough if you're the Cubs, because you have to find someone to throw out the first pitch and do the seventh inning stretch like every game.
Right, and they always have someone relatively famous.
Yeah.
She was doing a TikTok dance while doing it with two other girls, too. It was awful.
I can see why.
Honestly, like, I'm siding for a change with the fuddy-duddies who cover baseball.
The stewards of America's pastime here. I find her disrespectful and to not be a lady.
Guys, Rob McElhenney, I might have said that wrong, which is the reason for this. You might know him from Always Sunny in Philadelphia or the Wrexham show. What's it called? Wrexham.
Welcome to Wrexham?
Welcome to Wrexham,
this is Wrexham? Something.
He's changed his name and he felt the need to post an announcement for him.
Hi. Okay, I'm going to dedicate exactly 1 minute to this. Start the clock. Yes, I'm shortening my name to Rob Mack. Mostly a stage name, but I digress. Is it kind of douchey? Sure. But the amount of time that I have wasted trying to get people to either say or spell my name correctly is literally days of my life. Trust me, I added it up. More importantly, it means thousands of you have had minutes of your life stolen by me because of my last name, including this one. Still, it's a family name. My grandparents, parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, and I all share it, and I love them, and I want to stay connected. There's heritage. Except, it's not even really our Not only have many generations changed the spelling, the current one was just given to my ancestor by a government official who decided that this was now the spelling. Quick example, my great-great-grandmother. Oh, that's different. All good. It was a crazy time, but times have changed and most people already call me Rob Mack anyway. My family knows me and loves me regardless of how many syllables I have, and that's the only thing that I really care about. There are so many things going on in the world, and this is a silly one to continue to waste your time with. Honestly, call me whatever you want. Marion, Jerome, Archibald, Eric, Maurice, Stephanie, Francis, Marvin, Gordon, or Sam. But maybe we just keep it simple and try Rob Mack. Let's see how it goes.
I'm cool with this. People were crushing him for announcing this. Rob Mack can do no wrong in my eyes. Perhaps Ryan Reynolds is a bad influence on him. For those who are familiar with the backstory of Ryan Reynolds, which actually bums me out because I'm a big Ryan Reynolds fan, or at least was a big Ryan Reynolds fan. But I like Rob Mack. Rob Mack can do whatever he wants. Always Sunny in Philadelphia is the greatest sitcom of all time. We're talking about longevity, folks. Ain't easy to do. And they've somehow, the gang, not evolved at all.
Yeah.
Over not really like two decades.
Not like a drop-off either.
No.
Like, there's not like a, you know, you can tell that, you know, the Arrested Development season 4,
yeah,
you know, where it's like, you can tell these guys are a little too famous to be doing this still. It's like, nope, they're still kind of churning them out.
That is the voice of Sean Ace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify if you don't have the ESPN Houston app. What are you waiting for? Big thanks to our callers, texters, Twitchers, YouTubers, and everyone else who listened. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.